Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 2, Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2 and going through the end of the chapter. This is God's word. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We can look at this in two sections. The first is verses 2 through 6, a series of pithy statements that instruct us on how to behave. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Let's start by asking ourselves the question, what are you devoted to? What are you devoted to? Well, I'm devoted to my wife. Well, okay, that's good. What does that mean? It means that my wife occupies a place in my heart and in my life that no one can compete with. Okay? That's preeminent. We mentioned in the welcome that many people who are devoted to Jeeps have been here this weekend. Now, I'm not saying that's the most important thing in their lives, but clearly, when you see someone that has had their Jeep painted to look like homage to a Disney movie, which was just one of the themes on display this weekend, you see that this occupies more than the usual devotion in some people's lives, all right? But what are you devoted to? Now, I'm sure we would all want to list some noble things. Some are devoted to environmentalism. Some are devoted to politics. Some are devoted to making money. But one thing that is helpful in this regard is to ask the people who are closest to you, what would you say I'm devoted to? You might get an answer that will make you want to rethink your priorities. The Apostle Paul here says, devote yourselves to prayer. I've had many people over the years say, I just don't really know how to pray. Well, you're talking to me when you say that. Talk to him. Prayer is talking with God. It's not, to use an old colloquialism, it's not speechifying. It's not speechifying. You don't have to make up a new Gettysburg address in order to be able to speak to God. You don't have to go to a book where other people have written down sometimes beautiful prayers. Those can be a great blessing. I'm not saying do not use a prayer book. A prayer book can be a helpful aid in helping you express your thoughts. Prayer is not making speeches to God. Even if you use written prayers that are centuries old, you need to move beyond that to talking with God. Most of us pray, even involuntarily, when we get in a surprising circumstance that's difficult. Atheists call out to God when the plane's going down. You understand? Just talk with him. And not just to him. Talk with him. You mean he'll talk too? Yes. How will I know what he's saying? That's why we're studying this. This is where God speaks to us. He has given us his word. And so we learn to recognize the voice of God because it sounds like this. I don't mean it's in King James English. I mean it is consistent with God's character. God doesn't change his mind. He doesn't lie. He doesn't author evil. And so if you ever feel that God is leading you to go out and rob a bank in order to solve your financial woes, that's not God. Well, Pastor, I'm extremely reformed, and I'm concerned that when you tell people that God will speak to them, they might think that God will actually speak to them. I loved hearing from one of my reformed brethren at a missions conference in a very reformed church, now probably 15 years ago. This fellow was a very reformed pastor in Cairo, Egypt. And being a good, very reformed fellow, he didn't believe that God was still speaking to people in dreams and visions and that sort of thing. That's prior to the completion of the canon. But he shared with this, I guess, a couple of thousand people that in order to be completely honest about what's going on over there, he needs to report that there have been quite a number of folks who are Islamic in their background who come to them reporting that they have had dreams and visions of Jesus telling them that they need to read the New Testament and go to church. And he said, now the thing is, we don't generally believe in things like that. But when a lot of people are risking their lives in order to leave Islam and follow Jesus, you kind of have to take it seriously. You know why you ought to take it seriously? Because if you believe this book, it is entirely consistent with this. Might not fit your theology, But your theology needs to fit with this. Not be something that you use in order to build a fence around the truth. Just embrace the truth.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, that's a long digression from the first phrase in our passage this morning. But when we say devote yourselves to prayer, it's because we need to devote ourselves to prayer. That needs to be a high, high, high priority in our lives that we don't let other things interfere with. Okay? So we're devoted to it. We're pursuing the Lord through prayer. And that involves a couple of traits. You need to be watchful and thankful. God is up to something. And you need to be aware. Well, the enemy's up to something too. Yes. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to be aware of the enemy and his strategy, but we need to be focused on what God is doing. And let me tell you something, God's doing some fabulous things all around the world. And he's even doing some great things here, in our community, in our state, in our country, in our hemisphere. God is up to something. And when things seem like, oh, this is terrible. Nebuchadnezzar has brought his army and he's about to invade the city. Well, that's exactly what God said would happen to a people who refused to honor him. So I should be watchful and thankful. Thank God that he's on the throne. Thank God that he's working out his purpose. Thank God that no matter what happens, those who are in Christ are going to be okay. Well, they may kill us. Yeah, and you'll be okay. So, we should be talking with God. We should be watchful and thankful, and we ought to be devoted to that. But then in verse 3, the next verse, we should be interceding for the spread of the gospel. He says in verse 3, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. He's in chains. And his prayer is not that the chains will just go away. He does say at the bottom in the last verse, remember my chains. Don't forget, I'm in chains. I'm a prisoner. But the goal here is that this would not hinder, but that God would open doors for the spread of the gospel. Are you praying for the spread of the gospel? Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. That should be our concern, is that the gospel goes forth clearly. Then we should be looking for opportunities, verse 5, to interact with the lost in a wise way. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit and doing what we should do in relationship with outsiders, it's going to provoke questions. It's going to cause some people to think and wonder and ask. And that's the best time to share the gospel with somebody, is when they've just asked you a question. One of my happy memories of my teen years was walking down the semi-deserted streets of Asheville, North Carolina, whistling a hymn. And it was an upbeat hymn. And I walked around a corner, and some, should I say bum, was, I was very politically incorrect, some person who seemed to be indigent, does that sound better, was leaned up against the wall, and he said, "What are you so happy about?" Talk about an intro, okay? I was glad to answer his question. I didn't say, "I don't have time for you." I stopped and talked and shared with him why I'm so happy. You know why I'm so happy? His name is Jesus. It was a delight to share. I wasn't bothered by the interruption. I was delighted. Do we really believe that the gospel, a word which means good news, is good news? If we really believe this is good news and it makes an eternal difference whether or not people trust Jesus, how can we hope that it doesn't come up? How can we try and avoid situations where we're going to have to interact with people who have a different belief system than we do, and that could get awkward, and so I really don't want to go there. Go there. But be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. If you're rude to people, and then you hop in your car and drive off with a honk if you love Jesus, that's not being wise in the way you deal with outsiders. So what does it mean, outsiders? It means people who are outside the faith. People who don't yet know Jesus, like all of us were once. All of us were in that situation. All of us. "No, I've been a Christian all my life." Well, then you need to get saved. You better know that you were on the road to hell, and God rescued you and gifted you with repentant faith so that now you're trusting in Him and not in your goodness or where you grew up and who your parents were and maybe who your great uncle was or something like that. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us need a Savior, and there is only one. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." If you think that's just too narrow, it's because you're still on the broad road. Jesus said, "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it." So be wise, and let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, beginning in verse 7, going through verse 18, it's a bunch of personal greetings. You know, we already read these, a bunch of names that I hope I pronounced correctly. But, you know, it's just stuff. We really don't need to fool with that, do we? Yes. Yes. Why? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So what do we learn from this with all these names? I don't know these people. Do you know these people? Well, I've heard of some of them. I love the fact that he commends Mark, with whom he'd had this disagreement. But Paul later appreciated John Mark and commended him to the believers. So what are some things we learn from this? Well, the first thing that I would submit to you from this verses 7 through 18 is that people matter. People matter. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" The individual is worth more than all the stuff of this world. Jesus said, "Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from our Heavenly Father's notice." And then he says, "And you are worth more than many sparrows." God cares about you. And because God cares about you, because people matter to God, people need to matter to us. If we share God's perspective, we need to love people. People are important. Well, I just find a lot of them unpleasant. So does God. He still cares about them. He still reaches out in love to people like us. People matter. Second thing from this section of verses, people need to be connected. If you look at the way Paul describes all these individuals, he doesn't say, and here's a list of names that I got out of the phone book. No, he's aware of who they are and how they connect. And he ties these folks together. He commends this one to that one. He encourages these people to receive those people. People need to be connected. Not only connected, people need to be corrected. One of the things that the scriptures are good for is teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Have you ever gotten something wrong for a long time and somebody had to straighten you out? One of my dear friends called me to commiserate about my brother's death. And he said, what are some of your memories? And I shared. And he said, I have so many wonderful memories. He said, I'll tell you one thing he did for me. I'll never forget when he corrected me about this. And it was a theological thing. And this guy's a well-known, well, I'll tell you right now, it's Cliff Connectley. Okay? Cliff, who is now an internet sensation, thanks to his son, Stuart. But Cliff was telling me about something where he was mistaken and Bill straightened him out in his early days while providing Cliff and his wife a place to live on their property right outside Boston. But Bill heard him saying something and took him aside and said, you're wrong about that. Here's why. And Cliff cherishes that memory. Because if you love people, sometimes you have to correct them. If you see me with spinach between my teeth, please let me know. Okay? If, God forbid, for the first time since fifth grade, I get up to speak and my zipper is down, somebody warn me. Okay? It happened in fifth grade. It hasn't happened since. And I pray that it never does happen. Okay? But if you see an obvious, embarrassing mistake, don't just say, oh, well, somebody else can tell him. No, tell me. Okay? And if you find that somebody is theologically going off the reservation, the loving thing to do is to privately try and correct them with the Word of God. People need to be connected. People need to be corrected. And one more thing. People need to be commended. And he does a bunch of that in here. He commends these folks. He encourages that which is positive. And there's a bunch of good stuff to say. And Paul made note of it and mentioned it, not only to them, but to others. He said, be sure and notice what these folks are doing. Remember that these folks are doing this. You need to know this about this one. We ought to do that for each other. We need to build one another up. You see, God didn't call us to live the Christian life in isolation. He called us to operate as a family. And what he says over and over and over and over and over and over again is love one another. Love one another. Love one another. This is my commandment. Not just advice for good mental health. This is my commandment. You're to love one another. So, Paul has spoken to us. God has spoken to us. Because this is the Word of God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866-866- 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.